This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
You know what? I might like your wrist, but that's about it.
That's it?
I mean, that shit is expensive.
But you rich.
Get in the conversation.
Time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy East Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, it is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon, your host, and on my right hand side, I got
El Capitan, El Coronel, Vladimir Camacho.
Ah, shit. And on my left-hand side, I got...
You got the voice of your choice right here in the lab. You know what I'm saying? Ready to kick this thing off.
Who's the voice of your choice, though? You didn't even say your name no more.
Ali Muhammad.
Okay, cool.
I'm glad you took that alley-oop.
Oh, wow. I'm part of the drop. Yo, this cat threw himself his old alley-oop. All right, I see everybody get okay. I need to get me a drop together. Shit, fellas, how we doing?
Everything good, man. You know,
yeah.
And you know, I'm out here. I got a little spot in Studio City. I'm over here looking at some like little pink flowers. I got a nice little view out here.
All right.
Did you get a spot?
I got a spot till November. Then I got to find another spot. I got a buddy of mine who just bought a condo, and I'm kind of. He gave me a little hookup for 2 months, and I got to find another spot.
Living like a stripper.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know I mean, trying to find the next place to shake my ass.
Yeah. Right? But, you know, that's how strippers be, like, advertising. I've noticed that, like, on Instagram, like, you'll see the strippers on the Explore page, and they'll be like, Atlanta, from this date to this date. And it's just like, that's how they get their bookings.
Well, you know, that's...
A lot of other people do it, too.
That's historical, though. You know what I'm saying? Because between Miami and Atlanta, there was always like a trans city, you know what I'm saying?
Like fly north
conversion of strippers. Like you might go to Rolex on Thursday and then be in Atlanta on Saturday, it'd be the same girls.
It's the circuit.
Yes, they going back and forth to keep the money flowing right, you know what I'm saying? So I guess they'll never get played out. They don't stay nowhere too long.
Comedians do the same shit too, that I'm thinking about.
But just fall into a city and just.
Yeah, sometimes if you're trying to establish yourself out there and you find yourself somewhere, or say for instance you out there for a weekend somewhere, and you're in driving distance to another big city, you might take a couple days to just go ahead, you know, listen, I'm in town, blah blah blah. If there's any little one nighters or any little spots here, I'll play there. You know, you just kind of pop up, go get a little bit of money.
Strippers pop up on your Explore page.
Yeah, strippers, they get big on the Explore page. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody that get a lot of likes gets on that shit. I don't know if your Explore page becomes algorithm to if you click on some shit, but I see a lot of strip shit. I see a lot of fucking rap motherfuckers. A lot of graphic design people.
You got like performers, all the performers on your page.
Nah, then I'll get some dumb shit where it's like... Where it's like little puppy porn, you know what I mean? Like with the puppies is smiling or whatever, fuck, little shit like that. Let me look at my Explore page. Let me see if my shit is any different.
No doubt.
Then now I feel.
I'm just asking.
I'm out here defensive about my Explore page.
If you like this, Damian.
Yeah, I guess it's what it is.
You will enjoy.
If you.
Nah, man. Let me see what's going on here on this Explore page. Well, y'all keep talking.
Enjoy this.
No doubt, babe.
What's going on with y'all? There we go.
I'm looking at my Explore page too to see what the hell I got on there.
You know what I mean? I got a lot of sneakers.
That's what I'm looking at.
I got some. Oh shit! I got a black woman naked being cuffed by the police. It was on the Explore page. Shit!
I got a series of pit bulls because I'm a huge pit bull head. I got a bunch of, like, some fitness stuff, too, because I'm into the workout thing.
Man, I got a bunch of weird stuff.
Talk about it.
I got a dude. I got somebody with a private jet. Yeah. No, I'm telling you this.
Are you bragging?
Aspiration. This is the first.
Yeah, Ali.
This,
all right, Ali.
Listen. This is the first
thing
to see.
All right, Ali. We get it.
I mean, I ain't on no motherfucking
project.
What you got,
Chris? Yes, we get it.
I was just saying, Ali's got golden microphones.
I got
a vision board.
That's what it looked like. It looked like Pinterest and shit. That's what this shit is like. Some lady feeding up baby. Instagram model mom.
Look at that. I'm just trying to tell you, man.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
man.
It definitely got a different. My shit is a little bit more urban. Look at this shit.
Yeah, look.
I got one thing.
Yeah, you got a working working motherfuckers
class.
On
got a working class explorer.
Hell yeah, yeah. My explorer is definitely.
Not working class, but the working.
Oh, man. Check out your Explore page. I guess it says a lot about you.
Maybe not.
Well, maybe. Who knows?
Black Mom's blog.
Oh, shit. What else is going on, man?
You got inspirational stuff. Man.
You know?
I'm just saying, man. Y'all think I'm trying to high sign and all that shit. Don't play me, man. I'm just showing you what's on the damn thing, man.
It's just who I am.
It ain't even who I am. It's who they are.
Oh, man.
Shit.
Oh, man. That's cool. What's going on, man? What's been good with you? How y'all
been?
You
know, I'm tempted to get this iPhone 7, man, because my brother needs a new phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yo, you know, I hit you off with a couple dollars for your current phone.
Okay.
And you get the new one.
He pitched you.
It was a kind of a mutual pitch. We were sitting together.
It can only be one. There's no such thing as a mutual pitch.
Who came up with the idea?
Who pitched who?
So we were sitting down looking at the iPhone 7. Right?
Okay, like it's a lot of weeds.
And I go, Frankie, I don't think it's worth it. And he was like, do you want it? And I said, I don't think it's worth $850, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, well, what if I gave you a couple dollars for your current phone, and then you get that one? I was like, well, let me think about it.
Okay.
But does that make it worth it?
I mean, you know, to help my, question. You know, to give my brother a new phone, and then I get to turn this.
Wait a minute! You, he built that humanitarian award for himself. Well, to bestow my brother with the benefit of new technology that's actually not new.
I think I'm going to high sign on you, motherfuckers, and get the $900 iPhone 7. And I'm gonna roll up in here with the wireless earbuds on you. Know.
It make it worth it when it's less than $850, is what you say. And then there's
Go ahead. You know, I'm tired. It makes me sad to see my brother shooting non-4K videos. You know what I mean?
He
needs to really, you know.
Where's he coming from? What kind of phone situation is he in?
I think he has a 5S, maybe.
I thought you was talking like he was
on a 3.
Yeah, something well behind.
No, 5S. He shoot a lot of salsa videos, and sometimes they'd be a little patchy, you know what I mean?
Okay, that's cool. I understand your benevolence, but I'm okay now. What's the benefit of you getting that iPhone, that new 7?
So here's what's going on now. You know, I'm an Apple head,
right?
The challenge is now, and I want to speak to you guys about this. Is that I'm actually looking at everything I spend my money on.
Yeah.
As what is the future value of my money? Does that make sense? So I've been looking at, I opened up an account with Betterment, betterment.com.
Okay, yeah.
And they do retirement investing, and they basically do low-cost index funds.
Okay.
So every time, when I buy a pair of sneakers now, I'm like, I could put that into my retirement account with an expected return of X, you know what I'm saying?
All right, if you want to be that guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's how I kind of look at it now. So I'm like, $890.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, but what's the future return of this, you know? So I wanted to ask you guys, do you guys have a particular savings account system? Do you guys invest, or do you guys straight just kind of just keep it in cash?
Well, if I did, I wouldn't tell you on the cast.
All right. Okay. All right.
If you want to rob me,
if the IRS is looking for me, I got it under the mattress.
Nah.
I mean, I definitely invest. I definitely, but you know, I'm an entrepreneur, so shit, I'm investing every fucking day into
this
business.
Put it back out there. Yeah.
Dude, you know what I'm saying? Make it work. We do have little accounts here and there, but I tell you, from, you know, the recession era, the 2008 to 11, 12, I leveraged most of my shit all the way to the hilt. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just out here trying to get it back up, trying to stack back up out here. So, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
My wife talk about retirement, and she worried about that, and you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a conscious thing, but shit, when you in the middle of it, we too far to turn around. I can't go start no job for 30 years now and build up a 401k. So I got to build it up, get it back to, you know what I'm saying, nice place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We got, you know, some good real estate investment. So that's what I always like. At the end of the day, we could sell this motherfucker here in cash.
Hilarious. I love that.
That's an asset.
You know what I'm saying? So that got good equity and shit. So, you know, hey, man, I ain't all perfect with mine.
You got an asset, though. That's real shit. That's official. I got sneakers.
Last thing standing.
I forgot. Oh, shout out to my man, John Gabers, because I was listening to him, his podcast, High and Mighty. And he made this comment about cats with, like, people with no kids. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, married couples or whatever, no kids, or couples with no kids. And he was like, there's a certain bracket of people that haven't really built anything. The most expensive asset that they have is their laptop, which I thought was hilarious, because when I looked at the shit, I was like, God damn, let me think. That could really be where I'm at. Like, I've been saving. I've been putting a couple things over here. Did like a, you know, you try to do like the Roth IRA and things of that mm-hmm. nature. And I've been looking into it. So funny that you brought this up, because I was actually hitting a friend of mine who works in finance about, you know, what to do with this type of thing. You know, what should you do as you make money? Where could you put it? He was talking about retirement funds, mutual funds. You know, like, I'll be honest with you. As much as you should do that, mm-hmm. it's always been this thing where it's, at the same time, it's overwhelming and a little dense, like boring in a way to where, you know, like it's the right thing to do financially. But then when you talk to so many different people, you get so many conflicted. Oh, no, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you should do this. What you should do is what you really want to do. If you got a loophole, you do this. The yield on that is going to be that, 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 that. But what you should do, and they don't want to tell you this, right, is you should look into this. And you read that book and you put that in there. But then you just put a little bit over there. It's just really, you should just, one, live within your means, save something, just save some shit. However it yields is however it yields. And if you got the opportunity to invest in yourself, then do that too.
No doubt.
You know, that's how I'm kind of looking at it. I'm trying to, like, that's my next thing now is, you know, I'm going out on the road now. We just having a conversation about just the three of us mm-hmm. offline, but I'm looking at what that means to invest in yourself. At one point, investing in yourself might just mean, you know, making some flyers up. You know what I mean? But then as things start to get momentum, investing in yourself is like, let's build some infrastructure.
Right.
Let's get some things going. Let's start hiring people. How do you deal with that? How do you, you know?
Yeah.
It just gets more and more sophisticated as you go on. Listen to Dave Ramsey. He got some good shit to,
no doubt,
to add to that situation.
Let me ask you this, Vlad.
Uh-uh.
You got life insurance? Oh,
shit. I do not have life insurance yet. I don't.
Is that, that's a tripped out thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and, you know, when you got kids and a family and you know what I'm saying, if you check the fuck out, you know what I'm saying, you want to have something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be the GoFundMe nigga trying to keep the house.
Yeah. Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying?
GoFundMe.
It ain't funny, but that's the new insurance. Like, people, like, just die and GoFund the shit.
Let it be on everyone else.
You know what I'm saying? Let your people GoFund that shit.
GoFundMe is also called Good Look It Out. Thank you. Oh, appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm appreciate out. .com. Shit. Anyway.
But you know what I'm saying? It's all that little stuff like that.
It's adult shit.
It's grown folks shit. It's shit you don't be thinking about. But, you know what I'm saying, the more you move, and that's one of them things that when I left my job, well, you know, you had it through the job and all that. You know what I'm saying? It was like, well, damn, I know I could hustle. I know I could make shit work on my own. You know what I'm saying? If I'm out here, you know, I could dream up some money. But if I'm not here, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, where that lead? You know what I'm saying? The rest of my family.
Yeah, because they might not be dreaming like you.
Nah, they, you know, the kids is the kids. My wife got the kids. And, right. You know what I'm saying? Then it's going to be extra stress. It's just her. And then, you know what I'm saying, got the burden of the debts and shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you got, you know. So that's one thing, you know what I'm saying? I did think about that, but maybe because when I first met my wife, her grandma, I never met her. Her grandma died right before I met her. But her grandma was like, baby, make sure you get his insurance.
About you or about whoever?
Just about me.
Okay.
Just make sure you get his insurance. Like, I got my own insurance. Nah, baby, life insurance. If it die, you want to be the one to get the insurance. So that was like a famous quote in our relationship.
Yeah.
Wait, Ali, man, special. You think she would have said that to any suitor or specifically to you?
That was her primary philosophy.
Okay.
Get the insurance.
Secure the bag.
Yeah. This right. motherfucker croak out in the field.
Hell yeah.
Shit, secure the bag, baby.
Oh, man. Shit.
That shit was a famous quote.
Just because it's tragedy don't mean we got to be miserable.
You know what I'm saying? Get his insurance, baby.
Nah, that's real talk. You should do that shit. Let me ask you this, though. This is the thing that I bug out off of. How much is enough yield? Obviously, you want as much as you can, right? But people are always, I notice, I'll see people like, nah, I ain't really going to invest in that because I only get a yield to this. But they don't invest in shit.
Exactly.
Hilarious.
What,
you talking to the wrong ones, Mike.
not even that. Let's take it back even further.
We need to bring a financial detail.
Yeah, because that's when we're getting deep in the weeds. But just like on a broader level, how much? I think we talked about this before. But like, how much does it take to live a good life, right? And then on top of that, to on the second part of that question is, you know, everybody's saying they planning for retirement, right? Mm-hmm. And you. Living to work, and you never really lived,
mm-hmm.
right? You keep saying, it's almost like people say, yo, when I finally quit my job or when I start doing this, I'm going to be doing this.
Right.
And it's like, you don't even understand how to treat yourself in your prime.
Right.
Who's to say when you old and, you know what I mean, a little broken down, you go have the faculties together.
You're going to be broke down?
You go, oh, hopefully not, but you know, older.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, fixed income.
Right.
And you never really been anywhere. Who's to say that you going, you know, like.
Yeah, there's no guarantees.
There's no guarantee you even retire. You better live now.
Yeah, you know. What is retirement? You know what I'm saying? Do you ever really, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to eat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Most people retire and do something. But, you know what I'm saying? It's just like what you said. You said, like, you know what I'm saying? Some people at their job, when I quit my job, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which is also one of them things that you don't really even know what you're getting yourself into before you jump out of your job. A lot of times, you know, you jump out your job into something new, it take you a while to get up to speed
to
on
adjust.
What it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And to adjust to the lifestyle.
Right.
Which life be done caught up with you and flew past you.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? It's always a good thing to invest your time into understanding where you're going next. So, say, before I left my job, you know what I'm saying, I had already started on what I was going to do when I left my job. You know what I'm saying? While I worked my job, I was working my other thing. You know what I'm saying? Pretty much the whole time. So, it's while you're getting paid to be here, invest in yourself to make sure that you're going to the next place. I think the same thing goes for saving and looking at your future. It's like right now, you know what I'm saying? No, you can't wait to live. You're going to live a little bit, but then you're going to put a little bit,
right?
You know what I'm saying, over here to invest
so
on where you're
later.
Going. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? When you out here hustling and shit, yeah, you hustling for the bills, but if you just hustling for bills and paying your bills, then you ain't going to never get ahead of the curve. You know what I'm saying? Because there's always going to be more bills. So you got to hustle ahead of your bills. You know what I'm saying? You got to hustle on the side of your bills. So you got enough to put over here, enough to reinvest in the business, and then enough to live.
Or even if you hustle and stack, but you don't do anything with what you've stacked, you've never been in the
investment field.
Not even in the investment field, but you've never even you've never had the behavior to have fun with what you've worked for. You know what I mean? Like if you
yeah, because stacking could also be hoarding. That's a good point, B.
Stacking is hoarded. Like I'm looking, I'm trying to get rid of some clothes and shit. Like that ass, I got at least 50 undershirts. I don't need them fucking undershirts, but I'm hoarding them shits as if Like, if there's an undershirt drought of 2017, I'm good. I don't have enough drawers for all these fucking undershirts. I got to start getting rid of the shit, and I find myself.
Yeah, but that's a better problem to have with money.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Hilarious.
I got all this money. I don't even know where to put it.
But that's what I'm saying. But there are people that got a shit ton of money, and they just never do nothing. You know what I mean? Like, they just live to...
Yeah, and there's people that die that way, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some people that, you know, that hoard their money, and that's just how they run their life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They become loan sharks and shit.
Hilarious.
I need some interest on that.
Even that. That's still making your money active.
But, you know, it's like 2 Chainz said, you know, son, it's mine. Get it, you know, do what you do with it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So anyway,
you ain't gonna be able to take it, but you know what I'm saying? You might outlive it. So
yeah.
you gotta play the game wisely.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't wanna outlive your money. You done stacked up all these many years and hoarded the money.
Got hit by a car.
Didn't live too long.
Didn't even have a life insurance.
Nigga had 5 years left. All the money been gone for 5 years.
Wait, what? Yeah.
When you outlive your money, say you've been stacking all your working life. You know what I'm saying? You save $2 million.
And you live $1,600,000.
You know what I'm saying? you live $1,800,000
in life.
And die broke and in debt.
Fuck it, though.
At 92.
Oh, man.
Well, because also, and Dina, you and I always talk about this, is always the perception of abundance versus scarcity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if you operate from a position of like money's gonna come around.
Yeah.
You know, because I live in abundance, then you start investing in yourself, knowing that. Because I feel like when you operate from a scarcity perspective, you almost become afraid of investing in yourself because you're afraid of what the risk is.
Of course,
no doubt.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But if you approach it like, you know, I'm investing in myself, I'm gonna be low, but I know I'm gonna get it back somehow.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes you get punched in the mouth. And it don't come back.
But you know what? That's part of the game, because it's going to come back.
Most definitely is part of the game.
Yeah.
But that when you're talking about real life, yeah, you could be, you know, have abundant thoughts and, you know, invest in yourself. And when the shit don't work, that shit punch you in the nose, you know, you might go back to scarcity thoughts for a little bit. Yeah. Get yourself back together.
You start guarding a lot more.
Hey, oh, shit. Goddamn.
You got to start working on your defense.
Who that at the door?
Oh, shit, man. Yeah, man. I just feel like, you know, I'm definitely on that heavy on that scarcity versus abundance thinking. And I'm trying to be more abundant and benevolent, you know, like just be in the world and try not to be too scared to live. You know what I mean? Like, go for this shit, you know, but obviously be smart. Don't be an idiot, but don't be a fucking... just a miser ass. You know what I mean? Like, that ain't fly no more.
That ain't fly no more.
I mean,
miser swag. No, you know why? Because I was thinking about it. You know when you get a little miser swag from Jay-Z, early Jay-Z. I was just listening to Give It To Me. I was listening to Give It To Me, and he was, that nigga is so fucking cheap, so stingy. Might light your wrist, but that about it. Fuck it, I might wife you and buy you nice shit. But the nigga's like so conditional, you know what I mean? And you like, that was one of the most rich rap cats in my, like, when I was coming up. So you might have been like, you know what? Maybe I do need to be a little bit for him.
He came out there and said, get the keys to the Lexus.
Yeah.
But no drive.
But no drive. Give you the illusion of balling, but no. This is a secured credit card.
Hey, you know, he secured the bag and all of the above.
He secured the bag. It was blocking it. Chill. But anyway.
He look like he's living life.
He's living life now. He's abundant living
because
now.
Because he ain't got to spend it on nobody.
Oh, maybe everything, they just still spending their own paper.
I mean, you know, that together money is wrong.
That is hilarious. Miser swag. I'm trying to think of other examples of who does that.
Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? At the same time, at the same time, you got to secure the bag, but you also got to protect the bag. You know what I'm saying? And the more loose you get with the swag, you know, the less the protection is on the back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So at some point you gotta learn the balance of it. You know what I mean?
Ball and
you
responsibly.
Gotta, you know, yeah, well you gotta know where to draw the line. You gotta know how to protect it. Cause yeah. When you don't, that shit will fly.
Quick.
That shit will fly.
Anyway, what were you about to say, Chris? You had some thoughts.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in. I read an article the other day about this guy that worked in the library at University of New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And, the story said he was like this kind of like weird reclusive guy, didn't really spend any money ever. But he died recently and he gave all of his money back to the university. And he had saved like $4 million over the course of his life.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but he just never spent any of it, always worked in the lab, like never did anything.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yo, Vlad, do you remember, this is kind of reminds me of this, you remember back in the day, this was years ago, we were promoting Comedy on the Hump, and we were in Union Square Park, right? And it was this dude out there who was selling like one of them potato slices that could slice everything. Carrots, potatoes.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
and he was like a performer. He was out there hustling these little potato slices, and he had drummed up a crowd around him. It was at least a crowd, probably at least 40 people in a circle around him watching him do these demonstrations, these food demonstrations, selling these knives. These knives are maybe $10 or whatever. And he's building this crowd. Me and Vlad are out there promoting the show, so we start hitting the crowd off with flyers. And O-Han was like, hold on, you drum up your own crowd. Get out of here. Right? So we had to bounce. He said, you don't pitch to my crowd. Some shit like that, right? O-Han,
and he
right?
got knives.
He got knives. He's selling knives, right? But about a month later, I'm watching CBS Sunday Morning, and there's a whole fucking thing on him. And he goes out and sells these knives. This motherfucker is rich as hell, like super millionaire. He lives up in some like super luxury apartment. He blah, 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 like just his life is laid out, but he still every day goes out there and hustle them knives just because that's what he loves to do. It was bugged out. You never fucking know.
You're right. You never know. You got to live your life, man. How you see it, how you envision it. Some people don't want to, they just get the money and it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And some people want to, you know, do something with the money. You know what I'm saying? Show motherfuckers they had it.
Yeah.
So.
I'm always nervous about, I have paranoia about that. You know, having that level of income, you just out in the streets unprotected.
How you unprotected?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess now because, I've been watching Narcos so much. I get like these paranoid, like, you know, potato slicer out there. They kidnap them for ransom.
Oh, hilarious.
Narcos got me so paranoid, man.
Yeah, I doubt they're going to do that at this point.
Narcos got me so paranoid, man.
Nah, bro.
Yeah. You know what would be worse, though, is if you get kidnapped. Like super gangster kidnap and the ransom is some bullshit though. They'd be like,
oh, hilarious.
$400 if you give me $400, you're like, damn, you about to kill a
good,
motherfucker.
You good?
$400.
Yeah.
Depends on
you take PayPal?
Anyway.
What else?
What's going on with y'all, man? What's the latest with you, Muhammad?
Man, you know. I just had one of them last of the summer weekends.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We're shooting for Miller Lite. We shoot this party called The Do-Over.
I've heard about that party. It's dope.
I heard it. I've never been to it. This is my first time actually being at one.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty dope. It was live. You know what I'm saying? So we shot that, and it was interesting because, you know, when you shoot these events, over time, you know, you start this, because I'm not in the club every week, so
right.
When I do show up and we do these types of events,
mm-hmm.
you know, you get to hear the new songs. Right. You know what I'm saying? You see how people moving. And it's funny, like every so often there's a one move that everybody does right. like in the club.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Back in the day when I was coming up, it was that little move that Q-Tip and them used to do, mm-hmm. the little hop step.
Yeah.
And it was a little jump.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And now it's like every dance got an element of the Millie Rock to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like it's just that whole motion
right.
becomes the new Diddy Bop in the club. Mm-hmm. Like the girls, the dudes.
Right.
They was playing motherfucking Luke.
Right.
Pop that coochie, but still Millie Rocking today.
Right.
I'm like
that's the hot shit right now.
It's like what makes one move the move everybody adopts?
I think it's, if it one, I think if the move is easy enough to do for everybody, because you remember when like the Cabbage Patch used to be hot for a bit, like certain moves where it's like it ain't that intricate, or I remember, yeah, there's certain moves. I remember when the Dame Dash shit right. got hot for a minute, right. like certain things that are just easy to do.
The little Mary J. step.
The Mary J., you know what I mean? The puff little thing. And certain things that are just easy to do. Even though that Millie Rock is a little confusing on the, you know what I mean? Like how you, but I will, I've noticed that Rihanna tries the Millie Rock in every performance she does. No matter if she's singing like a slow song or fast, it's always a little.
That shit is the standard. You know what I'm saying? Like I've watched, I mean, I'm taping, so I'm looking at people doing shit all night.
It's the two step.
Every song, any song, so they got it. Got a. They could be doing another dance, but they them arms and the way that people move their hands is in a Millie Rock fashion. You know what I'm saying? And it's just funny. Like I'm sure he's proud of himself. Like you know what I'm saying? He kind of You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He might not have made it up himself, but he spread it out there.
Who? 2 Milli? Or?
2 Milli.
Yeah, he got it in the world.
Like you know, he got a standard.
He got a dance, and it's also a up rock. It's easier when it's something that you could do with your arms than with your feet. Because right. then with your feet, it's almost, you got to show a little bit more rhythm if it's a step this way, step that way, boom, right. back. You know what I mean? Right. If it's something where you could just, remember when everybody used to just raise the roof?
Yeah, raise the roof.
That's easy as shit. You could, you know what I mean? What was the last one you could do? It's a bunch. Dabbing.
Dabbing.
That's
but
simple.
But see, now, see, it's all included. Like, even you might Millie Rock and then dab, hit a dab right. on and then get it right. all worked together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole little, yeah, it's like a little.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
floor work.
And it affects, you know what I'm saying, how people move. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, of course, I film people, so I watch how people move.
Uh-huh.
I'm an observer in that form. Like, even the way people, like kids who in that culture start, the way they walk and where right. they interact with each other still has an element of that little funny style hand yeah. motion that I can't even figure out really how to do the shit. But
yeah, but you know what it also reminds me of, too? It's like the Millie Rock is reminiscent a little bit of, remember when N1 was real hot and cats used to cross each other up and it just real about like right. mean, like how you could kind of like when AI had that commercial where he was crossing and then carrying the ball.
Right.
And it kind of, you could kind of see it go into a lot of different things.
Right.
It's got a little bit of that.
Exactly.
Too.
Like that becomes like the standard type of dribble.
Right.
That's the standard right. look you want to have in right. your dribble.
Right. It's the default.
The post Jordan moves. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, eh. Now that's the Millie Rockification of the club.
The Millie Rockification. You got to go ahead and patent that.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just funny. It's funny to watch because then you're like, okay, how long is it going to last? But shit, it's been going on for a minute.
Till it get corny.
You know what I'm saying?
Till somebody, I don't know who going to have to Millie Rock. Because there's been some people who you thought were going to end the Millie Rock. The dab died because Cam lost that Super Bowl. It didn't even all the way die, but it took a L.
Right.
But nobody's aligned to the Millie Rock.
But see, the dab is something you do. It's like, okay, I'm going to hit it.
Right.
Bam. Like that little thing they do with the Millie Rock with their hands, it's just a motion. It ain't even like a, it ain't even a dance at this point. It's just how people move.
Right.
I'm going to put up some videos from the other day. And I'm going to just show you what I'm talking about.
Because
I was shooting in super slow-mo, so you could just, everything is that Millie Rock move with the ugly face.
Right.
Everything is the ugly face dance.
Right. Because you're feeling it. You winding it up. You get, do a Millie Rock montage.
You know what I'm saying? Ugly face.
Oh, shit.
But it was, you know what I'm saying? Again, it was a good time, and it looked like people was just trying to get that last, boy, before the summer over, let's get this last little bit of heat left and rock out.
So what is it about the do-over that is different from like a lot of these other parties? I've heard about it, but what makes the do-over the do-over?
Well, I don't know the branding behind it.
What did you see?
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, what else? They had different DJs, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they weren't playing the standard stuff in the beginning. They was playing a lot of, you know what I'm saying, a lot of mashup type of interesting grooves with this and that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like I said, I don't know the branding, so I might be fucking up their brand. I don't know. but you know what I'm saying? This is just what I observe.
You know, disclaimer.
Motherfucker be like, man, the do-over is all about. Yeah. Like, my bad.
Sorry.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't want y'all to take this as fact. It's just my observation.
Tweet it, Mr. Muhammad. And he gets you with some bullshit.
So they had the different DJs, you know what I'm saying, playing interesting stuff here and there, mixing some of the regular stuff with, you know what I'm saying, some like Philly style stuff and some, you know, just some rad grooves. But then one of the interesting things I saw about this particular party, and I'm not sure if it was because it was more corporate mm-hmm. with Miller and Adidas being a part of it, mm-hmm. but the age range was crazy.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? The types of people that were, it wasn't like one homogenous group, like
right.
that all came looking like, you know, this and that.
Right.
Nah, it was all kind of, it was like young 20-somethings over here
right.
with this. Then you had, you know, the white girls over here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You had the group with the white boy, two black girls and the Asian girl
right.
and one white girl.
Right.
Then you had, you know what I'm saying, older dudes smoking cigars on the benches.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, not older, like, you know what I'm saying, 50s, but like,
yeah.
like clearly grown ass, you
right.
know what I'm saying, kicking 40 down the dough, like, you know
right.
what I'm saying, 30-somethings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With gold chains and shit, you know what I'm saying? Playing the young leaning?
We got some money.
Yeah, the money, but it ain't that type of club. So
right.
it's outside, you know what
right.
I'm saying? Ain't no bottles and shit
okay.
like that. So, you know, cats got on their Cubans and,
right.
you know what I'm saying, posted up like
right.
as such. But, you know what I'm saying, it's really not that environment, but they there.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Then you got, you know.
So you're seeing different strategies.
It's all saying, these.
This is club strategy.
It's like every club strategy
uh-huh.
put in one room.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I guess that's why I call it the do-over.
Now, is that, oh, because they all trying.
Everybody doing it again. Let's do it again.
One more time.
One more again.
You think that's a result of these hashtag parties? You know what I'm like? I call them hashtag parties in the way that now a lot of the parties, like, they're, I don't want to dismiss them. I'm trying to start anew. Like, you call it the Millie Rockification. But you know there's certain parties that are known, like Henny Palooza.
Right, right, right.
Fucking, whatever, all of the, you know. The
branded
40
parties.
All of them branded parties. But they not, it's not as much about going down to the let out of another club or
right.
being in a certain targeted area, paper flyering, or even like e-blasting a certain direct mailing list of people that has been curated.
Mm-hmm.
It's more so that might start there, but as the party starts popping and
you know,
we hashtag
be
the do-over, yeah, right. it becomes a curiosity crowd. Like, wow, I see this do over shit fucking like trending.
Yeah, and one thing that was different about this, because I know exactly what you're talking about. And this same program last year, the Kickback with Miller Lite,
right.
was Grits and Biscuits,
right.
Saturday Morning Cartoons, Everyday People,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
And taking it to the other market.
Right.
Now, the interesting thing about those events last year was that those were like hashtag type of parties.
Right.
But when people came, they came as what the party was supposed to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They knew exactly what to wear,
yeah.
exactly how to look.
Right.
So everybody came as one group of,
right.
hey, we here for everyday people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, we here for Grits and Biscuits.
And you look the part.
And you look the part.
Right.
This particular joint, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? I mean, that, like I said, it might be part of
mm-hmm.
the personality of the event. It was just like, shit, we going to party. You know what I'm saying? And everybody just said, you know what? All right, let's go.
Yeah.
So you had, you know what I'm saying? Like you, like I said, you had those kind of cats. You had, you know, the Afro, the
mm-hmm.
natural chicks. You know
uh-huh.
what I'm saying? You had African girls. You had Coco and Breezy. And what's the girl name? Kalani, who, what was?
The singer?
Yeah, she was up in there.
Okay.
They had a little corner.
Was it just a bunch of corners? Was it any cohesion? No cohesion?
The dance floor is always the cohesion.
Was it a dance floor?
The dance floor
okay.
went down.
Okay,
you know what
cool.
I'm saying? The dance floor, once everybody got the, you know, licking in their system and
right.
and the sun started setting it when it's hot.
Right.
The dance floor was popping.
Because these are long-ass parties. These are
yeah.
from beginning to, like, early.
Like from 2 to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an all day situation, it's but a it's commitment. Early.
Yeah,
so that's why you get the older crowd. Like, shit, I could do that.
Yeah, I could do a day party. I could do that. You know what I'm saying? I could be home by 8, home by 11. Yeah, I'm good. I can go to work tomorrow. Shit. Get my likes on the gram.
You know what I'm saying? Hashtag. So you know what I'm saying? It's just very interesting because the way that people are promoting now are not just venue centric.
Right.
This particular club, it's let's create this experience.
Yeah.
And I like that. Yeah. I like it because now once you got the experience,
you could
take that experience anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, saying that, you know, that starts with, you know, taking it, you know, to the big events.
Right.
What was the joint from LA? Toxic Day Party.
Right.
It was like one of the first of that type of movement.
Right, 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 right.
I
right.
guess you would call it the hashtag party.
Hashtag
trademark call. Demian Lemon.
There you go. You know what there saying? We go. A couple trademarks.
You got a problem office. With him calling your party a hashtag party.
At Mr. Adam. Muhammad. Anyway, man. Shit. Yo.
I don't think I've ever thrown a party. Have you thrown a party, dude?
Yeah, I used to throw parties back in the day.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It's a different type of lifestyle. Cause it's fun when you promoting parties. Throwing parties are fun. Like when you just throwing parties just to throw a party and have people over. That's fun. When you try to say, yo, now I want to promote parties and make some money and invest in the party and hopefully I get my shit back, that could be fun too, but then that could be stressful. That could be a different type of lifestyle. Yeah. But it's cool, man. I was talking to my lady about this couple days ago. Like, I like almost every part of the party, every element of the party, from like when you first get in, like the early part of the party, where you don't know if this shit gonna pop or not, or like where you like you happy that you there early because you know this shit gonna be stupid,
right?
To where the crazy part of the party, like when it's at full tilt, there's that part of if you were there and you seen it go to that, or if you just got dropped off right in the middle of it, you know what I mean? Just came through and that shit was on fire, and it's that after portion of the party where the let out. Mm-hmm. And then you know,
and
it's
cheesy. And then there's a recap, right?
There's the recap.
Is tomorrow.
Yeah, the recap is that's the next day.
That's the next day. You gotta finish the night.
Yeah, yeah, but it's the commitment to the night for everything it brings you through, and there's a through line to that shit that I appreciate.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I said, for years, that was just life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was whatever was popping, I was going to be there. You know what I'm saying? For years.
Yeah, I don't have the
take attendance.
To the party
for years. Man. I was present.
Right.
Ali Muhammad, present.
Exactly.
You already know.
And it's a pride in that. It's a pride, especially when it's not even just present in your neighborhood or in your city, but present all
on
over.
On the circuit.
You know what I mean? You out there.
On the circuit.
Oh, I see you. You know what I mean?
Saw you in Miami.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm out here, though. You know.
Present.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't have party-throwing confidence. You know what I'm saying, D?
Well, do you have party-going confidence?
Yeah, I could pop in the party, but
no,
my
that's
thing
not
is,
party-going
like,
confidence.
It don't, you know,
Do you fully embrace that shit?
I'll be honest with you, man.
Be honest. 42 minutes in, now he gonna be honest with you.
I'll be honest, man.
Thank you.
And D, you know this because you've taken me to a couple events. I'm uncomfortable in loud scenarios where I can't carry a conversation. It's something about it that doesn't appeal to my personality. I'm the one to leave the party early.
Right. Quick,
because it's too loud. Everybody's the music is crazy. I'm like, I can't hear you.
Then you don't want to throw no
you
party.
Know?
Yeah, see,
yeah, I don't have,
you can't leave your own party early.
Yeah,
because then somebody else is carrying your bag.
Right, that's true. I think there's a part of the party where you just don't even put no expectations on it the first time. Like, expectations could fuck the party up sometimes. It could be a good thing because it could give
as a participant or as a thrower?
As a participant.
Oh, right.
Because
right.
I'm saying go through the participant stage first before you even try to throw a party. Mm-hmm. I think you got to experience a party before you could throw a good party. You know what I mean? But not always, but it helps. But what I'm saying is if you don't have any expectations of when I get to the party, I got to make sure that I talk to X amount of people. I got to dance and I got to do this and all of that. And if you just go just to enjoy yourself and just be like in that moment, you'll probably enjoy it a little bit more than if you put that pressure on yourself to feel like you need to be doing something in there.
Right, but it's all kinds of people out here. You know what I'm saying? It's, yeah. Certain, it's some people who come just to have a great time. They don't give a fuck. It could be two people in there. They're going to have a great time. Then you got other people who need everybody else to be having a good time for them to have a good time. They need to go into a situation where it's popping so right. that they could have a good time.
Right.
You know, so you just got to figure out where you're at on the spectrum. That really determines where you go. Because you can't take a chance on a party if you're not willing to kind of, you know, get to a place that ain't popping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but nowadays the internet make that shit a little easier because you could already see what's popping.
Well, see, my homeboy feels the internet killed the party. And yeah. he's a guy that throw. I want to have him up here too. Shout out to my man Natalio Tobacco. I'm gonna have him up here. But
explain that.
He feels though, as somebody that promotes parties, now that with everybody that like you could go there, you could Snapchat, you could Instagram, you could tweet, and it's a full report from the bar.
No doubt. That, so you got to be on.
If that shit ain't popping, you got to go against that propaganda. It's like
and no doubt.
You out there saying, "Yo, it's this pie's lit. Yo, we doing it." And then somebody hits you with the boop boop boop. It's seven people in here.
Nah, bruh.
Because there's so many people now that
this shit keep you honest now. You got to make it pop for real.
But the thing is, hold on. What's that? But the thing about making it pop was if we gonna be honest, it's. We're in this together. The promoter and the crowd, I feel like we both got to take a chance. If you believe in me like I believe in you, come to this venue and we can get this shit popping. Don't believe the hype of the motherfuckers that got here early to say whatever. Come make it something.
But that comes with being a trusted promoter. Right. That comes with people wanting to fuck with you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these parties, I mean, like I say, I ain't out here just trying new shit and different shit like that. Usually where I'm going, it's going to be
popping. They're established.
Because it's going to be a situation that right. need to be taped. By the time you could afford to pay somebody to come out there and document the shit,
right.
the shit is usually already popping. But these parties ain't dead. They just look like, you know what I'm saying, like this particular era of parties, you know what I'm saying, they either go real lounge
uh-huh.
or real big.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is good when you have that choice. It's like, you know what? I'm just go to the corner bar.
Right.
Chill out at mm-hmm. the Casablanca.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or I want to do the big thing, the big event, the everyday people's or the, you know what I'm saying, da-da-da-da-da.
Exactly.
I think, you know what I'm saying, it's a great thing because people know the experiences are getting bigger and better. You know what I mean? A lot of these, I haven't came across no motherfucking problems.
Yeah, you don't hear a lot about that.
Because the way that these parties are done are not in a way that creates those types of problems. Like when you got the expectation to ball over the next nigga. And
right.
Then, you know what I'm saying?
It's not that.
It creates a little tension in right. the room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that has to be managed. But it's out here. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely out here. You put the right program together, it's out here.
What you about to say, Vlad?
Oh no! To me, there's a parallel between parties and comedy shows because it's the equivalent of when a comic bombs,
mm-hmm.
and you go, "Yo, what'd you do? Oh, I tore it down, man. I mean, I was standing ovation."
Right.
And then you talk to somebody who was there, and he goes, "No,
yeah,
you took a slow one."
Yeah.
Yeah, that's even worse when it's on the snap.
And but that's I guess that's the value of being there. You know what I mean? You could make sure everybody knows what really happened. You know what I mean? Like you were actually an eyewitness. And if you want to snap the situation, you can snap the situation or you can give the firsthand account, you know, but being there still has priority over the motherfucker that wasn't. You know?
No doubt, unless it was a bomb.
But even when it was a bomb, sometimes
I wasted my motherfucking time.
Wait, D. So
yeah, but if it's a good story, is it really? You gonna get your time back out of telling that story? That shit was trash. Say what?
No, but to your friend's point, I got a question about that because Ali said earlier that the social media keeps you honest,
right?
But your boy is saying that it killed the party. But I think it may be it's like it holds you accountable now.
Well, this is what I would think. There's those people. It's like three types of people. There's the people that's gonna go. There's those people. No, there's those people that are gonna go. They like, yo, I'm going. I'm an outgoing right. type of person. Right. I need to go out and support live parties, live comedy, whatever, right?
Right.
Then there's those people that's like, nah, I'm chilling. I'm going to the crib. I'm in whatever, whatever. I'm not fucking with it. Then there's those people on the bubble that are kind of like, you know, I kind of want to do something, but I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to go out there and see if there's some bullshit. And those are people that are they're going to be the people that will right. go to the internet. Right. They're the people that are going to Yelp the restaurant before they eat. They're going to go research the hashtag because they oftentimes – they need that push either way.
Right.
That push to be like, nah, you stay in, it's the best choice, or no, don't miss this.
Right.
And that's where it could get tricky. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas before, you didn't have that. You didn't have now the
you
outlet.
You had to guess.
You had to guess.
You had to have the promoter smoke and mirrors, the hottest spot of town.
Right. Or your friend that already got gaffled, that's like, you call him, yo, should I come? Fuck that, come down. You know, it is what it is.
I'm here by myself.
You know what I mean? Yeah, come on. I think it might turn into something.
You know what I mean? But you know
it
what I'm saying?
It might turn into something.
That's always the party hope.
The thing about it is that a promoter's job is to really be able to translate what's happening in culture right now.
Yeah.
And be able to put that in between four walls and make that experience work. And some do it better than others. Some mm-hmm. have more resources to, you know what I'm saying, use cheat codes
right.
to do it better than others.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying? And then there's some that's out here just trying to get their name up and experimenting and investing.
Right.
You know? But nine times out of ten, once a promoter knows their audience and they could put the right pieces together, put this particular artist with this particular DJ and this particular Instagram model,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? People gonna come through the door.
Hopefully. Still.
You know what I'm saying? Still, hopefully. Hopefully enough for you to make your bread.
Because that's what it gets you.
But still, that give you, especially when you're out the blue, that gives you a better chance.
A better chance. It's better, but it's never a given.
No,
that's the beauty of this shit.
No, it's never a given. But another thing, you have to understand where you fall in the hierarchy. You know what I'm saying? So that determines how much you're gonna spend. That determines, you know what I'm saying, who you expecting.
Right.
So, like, say we did the party. Last party I threw was in Vegas.
Now we talking throwing parties.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, last party I did was in Vegas
yep.
for Pacquiao fight.
Yeah. Right?
And we had, you know, you had the big parties.
Right.
It was Drake at the such and such.
Uh-huh.
Nicki over here at the Blase Casino.
You talk about the tone at the such and such.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's the big part.
It's the big
Puff
yeah.
Daddy at,
exactly.
hey, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Marquee.
You know what I'm saying? So these are the big joints. You know you're not going to beat them.
Right.
But.
Second tier.
That's only 6,000 people that could fit into those
okay.
three clubs.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So now you got, you know what I'm saying, a couple hundred thousand more mm-hmm. that you need to reach. So what we attacked was the mid-range.
Yeah.
Even the mid-grade crowd.
Okay.
You Reggie. Know what I'm saying? Not Reggie. Mid. You know what I'm saying? The
mids.
You know, okay. High mids.
Okay. Gen 5.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. High mids.
High mids. All right. Okay.
So okay. You know what I'm saying? You get your talent. And what we did to kind of bridge our gap was that we took a bunch of mid-range talents and put them in one room
okay.
instead of, you know, getting one. So okay. we had 2 Chainz. We had Gotti.
Uh-huh.
We had Taz Angels on the Instagram model side of
okay.
things.
Okay.
We had about 5 DJs
uh-huh.
from every market.
Okay.
Infamous.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was 5 cats.
Okay.
A lot of them. We got a nigga from Texas, a nigga from the West Coast.
DJ, a nigga from Texas. Shout out to DJ, a nigga from Texas.
But
once you put it all together uh-huh.
and you look at the landscape,
yeah.
after Drake at the such and such
right.
and P. Diddy at the fly right. ass over here,
right.
it wasn't nothing fucking with that lineup.
Right.
You know
okay.
what I'm saying? So it put us in a better position to make money.
How'd it work out?
Oh, it worked out. It worked out lovely.
Oh, all right. Well, beautiful.
It worked out. It was lovely.
Okay, cool.
I mean, when by the time they came and shut us down,
mm-hmm.
it was like still 700 people on
oh,
the block.
Oh, well, that's always
you know
a good look.
So it was a good look. The problem wasn't to getting the people there, because now you got them there.
Right.
The problem was getting them in fast enough to get all the money.
Right. Damn.
You know what I'm saying? We had to leave 700 people on the street.
Can't sell his crack fast
enough. You know what I'm saying? You got 700 people on the street. You looking at that shit like, okay, that's 200. That shit.
Right. What was your fear? That somebody could poach from the crowd while they was waiting online?
No, that's not a fear. The fear is that, you know what I'm saying?
Fire marshal coming?
You're going to get shut down. It's Vegas. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of politics out there. But then the thing is your customer service. You know
right.
What I'm saying? Getting them in fast enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Making sure they could get in and have a good time so they could post on the gram and post on the snap that they're having a good time. They stand on the sidewalk. That, you know, that's live for a minute.
Yeah.
But then it's not a good time if you one of them 700.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? And then as a promoter, you like, shit, I need every one of them dollars.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know what I'm saying, you got people coming up there, you know what I'm saying, dropping 400 ahead.
To get up fast.
Just to get up faster. You like, shit, I need about 350 more of them.
Yeah.
And then I can take the rest.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of like when it comes to promoting, you might go as a consumer and like, dude, this party was hot.
Right.
And then the promoter might go home with a fucking headache because he didn't make all his money because of this little thing here or that.
That's the beauty of it.
You know, that, and that's the game. That's why, you know, some play it good and, you know, some just get the fuck out.
Mm.
I can't play that game every day. That couldn't be my main business.
Nah. Too much. It's too much anxiety. Too much the stakes.
It's just you got to be about that. You know what I'm saying? You got to be
gambling.
Yeah, what gambling is up all night. It's dealing with, you know what I'm saying? You dealing with cash, so that's when you really worry about a nigga trying to kidnap you and rob you after the club.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's every night of your life.
The shit is fascinating to me, though. I like when they had that little they had that reality show with Mark and Taz from DC. It was pretty good to watch. Like, I like if somebody could capture that, just that culture, the entertainment nightlife culture on so all of those different levels, from the consumer to the promoter to the talent to the, you know, security, all of that shit. That's something I would fuck around and watch.
Right.
I could check that out, man. That's some interesting shit. I ain't laughing. Like,
Gavall making that shit, he might fuck around and watch it.
Might fuck around. Shout out to DJ a nigga from Texas. It is what it is. Sometimes, like I said, it's three types of people. It's the people that's like, yeah, I'm definitely nah, and there's some motherfuckers on the bubble. You know, depending on the slot time and the promotion, I'll probably tune in. Nah, if man, you got something like that, I watch it.
No disrespect to the DJ from Texas.
No doubt.
I just can't remember.
Well, that's why we go because
you know what I'm saying. It was once the committee got together and it cast off saying, "Yo, we need to bring this cat from Texas." It became a non-fact. It became a budget item at this point.
Right.
Like, all right, do we need another DJ?
Right.
Well, he in town already. Let's give him 300. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Hey.
But I'm going to find out what his name is.
Shout him out, Adam.
No, I shout him out on the
nigga
next
went
one.
From DJ line item to a DJ nigga from Texas. I'm figure it out.
Hey, well, shit, that's what it is. That shit, all that shit is a budget issue.
Every
little thing, because that's when you not doing it and you just putting shit together, that shit, them costs start to eat your ass up when you're in the count at the end of the night. You're like, God damn, we still got to pay DJ from Texas.
Right.
Damn. Yeah,
shit.
Pay him yet?
Yeah, everybody got.
You know,
then
that count. That's where the interesting part get. That count.
Yeah, that's where it's good and tedious.
That's when you really realize what's happening.
I have a camera there too, because that's funny.
Nobody don't want no camera in the count.
Nah, but you should have one though.
But that shit is its own motherfucking drama.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, because you got cats one waiting around to get paid. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This investor, like, he trying to get his before the bills get paid.
There's something even funnier. Vlad, you still in the building, though, right? You still there, right?
I'm here, baby.
I know,
because
we all clubbed out. I don't want to leave you outside.
No. I'm learning. I got to tell you, that's not. I'm in college, man. You know, I barely went to any parties. I had to get dragged to go to parties, you know?
Yeah.
I'm so. That element is so outside of my comfort zone.
But you used to promote a comedy show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, but to me, comedy's about, you know, I think this is where what I got to work on is I have a tough time in loud environments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I get overstimulated, if it's my nervous system that acts up. I just can't be in loud environments. There's something about it that like, it just turns me off. If it's too loud, like, I've been in situations where everybody's like, yo, this party's jumping, and my body's going, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's because I'm an old man trapped in a young body. I don't know. Even when I was a kid, when my family would have parties in the house, I would always sneak off and go to my room and read or something. I can't deal with loud situations. I can't be around loud environments.
But, you know, it's a similar thing with your comedy show. You know what I'm saying? As you grow as a comic, you're still going to have to put people in room. You know what I'm saying? You might not be the throw on it, but you know, you the talent. You know what I'm saying? We was talking about this when we went to see Louis C.K. last night. Mm-hmm. Me and D went to the Garden to see Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And he sold that bitch out. You know what I'm saying? That's still an element of promoting, because you had to figure out how to get yourself to a point where your rooms are full. You know what I'm saying? And how you grow your rooms, and how you get to a bigger room, and how you get to a garden level.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And put people in there, which is the same what a promoter's trying to do. That's why he would book you.
Right. And it's, yeah.
And then to add to that, and I think Kevin Hart is brilliant at this, is to make it feel like a moment. You know, comedy's one thing, but they got to feel like when Kevin did the Lincoln Stadium,
mm-hmm.
when he sold out, you know, I think it was 50,000, whatever it is, even though there's comedy, there's jokes, the crowd feels as though this has been a moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole Instagram stuff starts in the hashtagging. So, you know, how did Louis do did it feel like a moment yesterday?
Yeah, I thought it was. I felt
it was a white moment.
It was definitely
hilarious.
It was definitely the whitest thing I've been to in a long time. I said that last night. It was like a lot of white people. You remember that Louis's base is white.
Definitely.
Now, but I'll say this. It felt like a moment for them. It felt like a moment. It did feel like it. It felt like a fucking moment. He sold out the Garden.
Yeah.
It was a moment. But to that point about how to build all of that, and how to be true to who you are. I've noticed, and we going to keep him, Louis, as the example, his messaging has still been very humble and everyman for the most part. Even how he promotes a big-ass show at the Garden, there's going to be a personalized email sent out to his mailing list. That's huge as fuck. But the way that I'm still going to communicate is I'm just Louie that's been doing this. I'm a whatever. I'm a slot. You know, all of this type of shit. I'm Kevin. When I talk to my people, I'm going to tell you the gravity of the moment. Right. Like, I'm going to make sure that I got pyro. I'm letting you know. You see me fucking being ejected onto the stage. Like, it's clear that I want this to feel like something. So there is manipulation involved, you know. But it's just like back to being a promoter. And, you know, when you got to be a bit of a hybrid, if you're a promoter and you're the talent, there is some manipulation to understanding who your crowd is, what do they respond to, you know, and how to deliver that to them. And
how to get them in the house.
And that's the final act. Like, boom, they showed up, so it must have worked. Or they didn't show up, so what didn't work? But back to Louis. I like the shit. You know, I'm a big Louis fan. I fuck with it. What I like about Louis as a comedian is just what he can get away with saying. You know, like, I like most comedians by what they could get away with saying, and just like have the crowd on it without losing the room. You could get away with saying some crazy shit, because you build up goodwill based on your craft and your talent and what you've been, you know, your humor. You know what I mean? Like, I like the wordplay. You know what I mean? Like, some of the shit that he says. I was thinking about this recently. You know, Eddie was obviously the guy that got me probably into comedy. But, you know, and as much as I love comedy, I'm a huge fan of comedy, I'm also a huge fan of rap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I appreciate in both is wordplay. Like, if you could say some slick shit in a way that is deliberate but witty. You know what I mean? Like, oh, wow, that's crazy. And I think he's one of the best at that going on right now. I think Louis says some shit that's like, damn, that's going to leave a stain on your brain for a second, or at least make you have to pick it apart, or say something that's so crazy, outrageous, if you was to take it outside of the context, If you pulled it as a pull quote, that shit would be ridiculous. But how you weaved it into what you did, it was artful. So right. I dug it. And, you know, that was part of the reason I even went was, you know, I just came off of doing a weekend at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte. Shout out to the Comedy Zone out in Charlotte. Shout out to everybody that came out. Shout out to Paul Pallotta, Zach Burstyn, everybody, you know, the whole squad over there. But I wanted to see some people that were like, you know, 25 years in. I wanted to see how comedy played in the Garden. I wanted to see what that looked like. And I'm happy I went. The shit was, I dug it.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. I've never watched Louis stand up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I saw his show. You know what I'm saying? I watched a couple, you know, maybe the first couple seasons of the show. and, you know, he said some loose shit that, you know what I'm saying, in the moment sounded, you know, like, okay, motherfucker, what the fuck this motherfucker talking about,
yeah,
man?
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying, once he rolled it out, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, you get to sit back and look at how he did it. It was very slick how he do it. Like, he had a piece on, you know, I don't know if he's supposed to tell a comedian's joke, look but fuck it. Yeah. I ain't no comedian. At Mr.
Spoiler.
Muhammad.
Spoiler. You look at the list. Yeah, go ahead.
Nah, but, you know, he had a piece on white privilege. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And when it started off, you know, it kind of was like, okay, it was rubbing me the wrong kind of way. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the fuck, Louis on? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, but I keep in mind that he had the black wife and, you know what I'm saying? I try to, you know what I'm saying,
give him the benefit
of the doubt and shit. You know what I'm saying? But meanwhile, I'm stirring a drink hard like Al Roker and shit.
Go ahead.
Right, hold up. But then after he rolls the joke out, you know what I'm saying, and then he did it in a way where he kind of criticized white privilege without alienating the white moment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they rolled with him all the way through. And I don't even know if half of the people even got how he bailed out of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm. At the end. So, you know what I'm saying? It was pretty slick how he did it. So, I had to, you know, tip my little hat to him, even though I was a little hot under the collar in the moment. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Which is always interesting.
Sitting in the Garden, you know what I'm saying? One of thousands. It's just me and D.
Yeah, yeah. A
couple of little black spots in the room.
Right, right. One black dude behind us with his white lady, and he was clapping at some real weird shit.
I wasn't paying attention to him.
But I caught some of that shit. It's funny. That could fuck you up when you start looking at what people are laughing at. I don't judge nobody on what you laugh at, man. I'm a comic, man. Live your life. But it definitely made me like, I was a cause for pause. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Cause for pause.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, it got loose.
Yeah. It was good though.
But he did, like I said, he did it in a way where he pulled it around and it made a social commentary on the subject.
Yeah.
By being in it and not talking about it or around it, he put himself directly in it,
right?
And then made the joke happen.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because I don't think he didn't let himself off the hook.
No.
Yeah,
he put himself directly in the
right.
in the line of it. But you know, it's easy to because he was in a room full of white people, so it was easy to drag them along in that direction.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
If he was in a room with black people, he probably would have lost them in the beginning before he got around to.
Yeah, I don't think the room full of black people would have been that big. But there's some black people that fuck with Louis. But
no,
yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they don't fuck with Louis. Obviously, the dude was behind us fucking with Louis. I'm just saying that it was easy for him to pull the audience in certain directions.
Right.
Because he knows them. And,
right. You know he knows audience.
He knows the audience.
Right. Right. True. I could dig that.
Because he lost me for a second.
He was like, wait a minute. Hold on.
I almost didn't make it to the end of the motherfucking joke.
Yeah. That's always fun.
This what you brought me to, D?
But you know what?
Glad this what you brought me to.
Glad, do you ever get that? Not even
this what you brought me to.
What's going on,
what
D?
What kind of shit is this? So this is the type of shit you like, huh?
This ain't this well.
It's one of those moments. Yeah, we looking at me. They looking at you like, okay, this up.
Okay,
I see what's popping.
What
here.
You into?
Uh-huh.
What you like?
All right, true. shit, man. But I thought it was fun, man. It was a good one to see. It was inspiration, man, to see a motherfucker just to see how stand up comedy plays in the Garden. Also, shout out to Rachel Feinstein, Michelle Wolf, and Lynn Coplitz. They cracked it open for him. It was pretty dope, man. It was a good night.
Who was the MC? Did he have an MC?
That was he was the MC. He just yeah, it was funny too. Yeah, it was dope.
Louis was the MC?
Huh? Yeah,
Louis was the MC.
He just did it from behind the curtain. It was like a funny. He did it well. It
yeah, I like that part of the show.
He made the garden feel like a small comedy room.
Right.
He did his thing. It was dope. It was dope. I really fucked with it. Anyway.
So, shit. Are we going to transform in real life?
I think, should we transform? I had another bit to it, but I don't want to, I feel like we pushing it yet. We pushing it yet because it's getting a little exploratory.
What you got?
Because we were talking about that bit, the Louis bit about white privilege, right?
Right, right, right.
And then, you know, the perception of white privilege, is it there? And if it is, have you used it to your benefit or whatever, right?
Right.
Is there such thing as black privilege? Is there Latino privilege? Like, is there anything that you do outside of white people? Is there anything that you do as a black person that you think, like, I know I can get away with this shit purely off the strength that I'm black? Like, and I'm gonna leverage it 9 out of 10 times. I know I can get over this shit.
I mean, there's plenty of shit, but it ain't necessarily privilege. But you know what I'm saying? It's what's left on the board.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on this Amtrak.
Uh-huh.
And I know ain't nobody gonna wanna sit next to me.
Right. Right. So, and you say, fuck this.
I'm good. Put on my screw face. Nobody wanna sit next to the 6 foot black man with the screw face.
Uh huh. Is that privilege?
No, like I said, but it's what's left on the board. It's what's left.
So what is privilege? Like what? Okay.
Privilege entails power. Like if you can't, it's always going to be a certain, once you get to the institutionalized section of this country, you're going to run out of your privilege.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
once you get to the institutionalized section.
Yeah, so like, okay, if you get to the, you know what I'm saying, to the justice system and shit right. like that, you know what I'm saying? Your little privileges aren't going to be out the window.
Okay.
Because that's where all the white privilege lies, in the systems.
In the systems.
Yeah, in the infrastructure of the shit.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
So you could take yours as far as you could take it.
Right.
But there's a limit.
But let me ask you this, because this is the thing.
I think we should get this topic as just due, though.
This is a long. Well, hold on.
We in it now.
We talking now. Hold on. This is my question, though. So let me ask you the same question. There's obviously white privilege. I'll never say there isn't, or mm-hmm. there, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, because that joke was talking about, you know, I'm a white guy. I'm going to tap into, you know, he's right. tapping into the power of it, right?
Right.
And
I'm a white guy. How could you treat me like this?
Right.
Like,
basically,
what the fuck is going
exactly.
on? You can't treat me like this. I'm a white guy.
There's the expectation. There's right. the entitled portion of it. Mm-hmm. I'm a white guy. You can't treat me like this. I'm white. You can't treat me like this. Right. But do you feel like, two questions. One, do you concede to that in the way that even if the ground, the playing field isn't level,
mm-hmm.
does that shit stop anything that you consciously do? You like, how do you process
no,
it consciously?
It don't stop you at all, but that one, you know, the original question. But
the original question was, is it black privilege? And that was just more so to be like, we're gonna explore that shit. Like Latino right. privilege. Vlad, do you have any Latino privilege? Do you think there's anything
well,
that you could do?
Well, no, I think the conversation has to, you know, this is why I think is, because then we got to break it down into gender as well, right? There's gender privilege, there's sexuality privileges, and then race and economic privileges, correct?
I guess so if you want to like break it down, that for call, keep going.
Yeah, so there's like a mosaic of privilege and what that looks like based on different scenarios and contexts,
right?
But back to Ali's point, when you're talking about who's in power and how that privilege gets distributed in ways that affect a multitude of people.
Right.
When we're talking about housing and healthcare and education, that's when real privilege starts to manifest itself in terms of the fact that certain black people can't get housing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even when you can get housing, you know what I'm saying? And your interest rate is a little different than the next person with your same credit score, or, you know what I'm saying? When you in that same neighborhood, but everybody look like them, and then, you know what I'm saying, you might want to throw your little barbecue, and it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of different things. Like, even when you get to where you want to go, you're going to run into shit.
Mm.
Because that's where the privilege kind of stops sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But where you exercise your black privilege, D?
I'm trying to think about shit like that. Like, yeah, there's, I was really trying to give it some thought. I was thinking about shit like when you sitting on a bus or something like that. Is Dion Cole got a joke about that where you just turn your blackness up just to...
You got black privilege on the sidewalk in Bed-Stuy coming right. off the train. You know what I'm saying?
However, the funny thing is sometimes you might not, because in certain places like that, if some shit was to pop off, more often than not, motherfuckers will fuck with their own than the white person in that environment for fear that some real be more repercussions fucking with a white person than it would be fucking with their own.
I'm not even talking about the actual perpetration of the fraud or the crime.
Okay.
I'm just talking about...
Just
living life.
Uh-huh.
You know what
being
I'm saying?
Being comfortable.
Being more comfortable. being comfortable walk the streets in the darkness of the night.
Exactly. Okay.
And then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
You get off the train and you must be walking 10 million miles per hour.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You slow stroll to the crib.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You could be a little bit more comfortable in your setting, your surroundings.
Exactly. But, you know, that's about, you know. You exercise your shit in your world. Like if I'm at an HBCU,
right?
I am fully
you feel
black privilege.
You feel it? Yeah.
If I'm in Decatur, Georgia,
right?
You know what I'm saying? In South DeKalb Mall, okay. I'm exercising my black privilege to walk up here and order my Popeyes with ease.
Right.
I could say it in shorthand.
Right.
Let me get that two piece out. Mm-hmm. They go boop boop boop.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Another person might come. Hey, come on. We ain't got time for all this slow talking. Now. Come on with it.
Yeah. In these limited settings,
it's very limited.
It's a bit of privilege.
It's a bit of privilege that you can exercise.
So, Vlad, do you have any privilege that you could as a Latino?
Well, I'll say this. For example, as a Latino, if I travel to a Latin American country,
right.
You know, there's a lot of internalized racism in Latin America.
Right.
So by virtue of the fact that I'm light-skinned,
right.
There comes certain privileges with that.
Light-skinned. You are well, hilarious. Talk your talk, Vlad.
I'm
go
just
ahead.
Fucking with you. I'm just fucking with you.
Nah, you know, it's interesting because I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. So, like, I have what you would consider ethnically ambiguous features. Some people would say that. Because I have curly hair, you know.
How ambiguous?
I am light.
Okay.
No. I'll give you an example I'm talking about. So although I'm light-skinned, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not as white as someone who has green eyes and, like, straight hair, which they are in Latin America.
Right.
You know, you'll find a Colombian cat who looks like he's from, you know, he's from Connecticut.
Right.
So there's by measure of degree, I have a certain privilege based on how dark my skin type is compared to someone like that.
And what would some of those privileges entail?
You know, they're considered to be smarter. Mm-hmm. When they put a certain outfit on, they're considered to be more handsome or better dressed. Mm. They will definitely pull, statistically, they might pull more females at a club, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So their status is elevated because of that.
And this is Latin America?
This is Latin America.
Okay, I just want you to be clear because they're gonna at you.
And then you know, you are a certain parts of Latin America. You know, black people get ostracized. They get placed in certain neighborhoods, like anywhere in the U.S. You know.
Yeah.
And Diablo, they hard on the dark skin brother.
Yeah, man. It's hard. It's hard.
They're trying to deport
you. Absolutely, man.
Shit. In D.C., they hard on the dark skin. It's tough. Let me ask you this. Okay, keep going. Go ahead.
The same thing about privilege is like the fact that someone crosses the street when you're on that street, Damien.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like, is that a privilege or is that a negative? You know what I'm saying? Or if someone doesn't want to sit next to you on the bus.
Nah,
you know what
see,
I mean?
See, if you internalize it, then you could take it as a negative. But see, me, I think the privilege is in being able to play their stereotypes against them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you walk across the street and I'm behind you, and especially if I got to go across the street too, you're going to be more fucked up than I'm going to be by it, because I'm going to be laughing the whole way. Like,
right. Like
I tell you, it happens all the time coming to this studio, right, on the Upper West Side, coming down Broadway or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That shit don't bother me, because that's on you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Your shit is your shit. I don't have to internalize your shit while you crossing the street. I ain't trying to rob you. I got, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to a house party, a white friend of mine's house party, and I got there about 11 o'clock, and it was a couple coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I was going in, and they actually froze in the, like, they froze like deers. Uh-huh. Like, uh-huh. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And the dude, he was coming out of the door, and the woman had already got down the steps, and I was coming through the gate. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker left his name. Was about to go back in the house.
Oh, shit.
I bust out laughing. I, like, laughed. I was like, you know what I'm saying?
To release the tension?
No, because it was funny as fuck. I didn't care about the tension. Okay,
cool.
I didn't care about the tension. I laughed because the shit was funny as fuck, because he was about to leave her.
Right.
If I was trying to do something, he just gave her to me.
Hilarious.
But I'm like, motherfucker, I got on Ferragamo loafers and a trench coat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like a nice dress coat. Who the fuck I'm robbing in motherfucking loafers?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Right.
But that's them. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
That's like, you know what I'm saying? So the, like I said, the privilege is being able, okay, if that type of thing is happening, how do I move in order to counteract that, to get myself in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on a set and I'm the only black dude and everybody looking at me crazy and blah, 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 who's this dude, and trying to protect the models from me shooting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just be blacker and, you know, I be taller and I walk stronger and I, you know what I'm saying, I shoot everywhere and piss all over the walls, like marking my territory.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then what happens is once they see the client, who writing the checks, how they interact with me, and you know what I'm saying, blah, 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 you know what I'm saying? Then they feel fucked up. Like, damn, why were we treating them? They love them. Now, why do we not love them? So now by lunch, they want to get to know you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But is that based on you, or is it based on somebody validating you?
No, I don't give a... See, the thing is that I know that this is going to happen.
Of course.
And so
you have fun with
it. So it's all a show.
Right.
Like, I don't have to talk to the client. I don't have to have the client validate me, but I like to do it so they can see, and then it's all fucked up.
But let me ask you this. Is that misdirected rage a little bit? In the way, not misdirected.
Could be.
No, I'm not. I'm asking.
But that's my privilege.
That's how, yeah. No, it's true. It's your privilege. But I'm just thinking about that moment where you, like, you could make the decision to be offended, or you could be tickled by the bullshit. You know what I mean? And like, in that moment where you walk in there and you know, like, I always joke, like, if you're the only black guy at an all white event, you don't need to introduce yourself. They saw you. You know what I mean?
And
like,
and they coming to see you.
They gonna
coming
come to see
they
you.
They trying to figure out who are you, how you got here.
Exactly. So when you say, like, I'm walking through proud, like, I'm coming through with abandon. Like, I'm not concerned with one of y'all. It's almost like it's an aggressive act to counter the way that you, like, this is some bullshit.
So because of their privilege, you have a counter privilege in being able to misdirect it, to manipulate it, to all that shit.
So it's like privilege Tai Chi.
Yeah, it's like when at the time when I was young black male in the streets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Get pulled over dirty than a motherfucker.
Right.
The biggest misdirection was the smile and the, how you doing, officer?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because you don't look like what they expect.
And the understanding, no, you ain't reacting how they expect
That's
you.
That's what I mean, but with the smile, it's like,
you like, yeah, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Where you going? And you actually know where you're going and how you're getting there and all that. That's all pre-planned shit.
Right.
Every move you make, you knowing where you at, what's around, and where you should be if you was doing the right thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So by the time they hit you with them damn profile questions, blah, 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 where you going? It's 2 o'clock in the morning, blah, blah, blah. And you like, oh, I'm going over here, blah, 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 to see my friends and blah, blah, blah. Let me see your ID. And
then, I just wonder, though.
And then you already know your ID clean. You know what I'm saying? This shit is, you know what I'm saying? It's a little different. You use they shit against you. Now, it don't work for everybody in every moment, but I use the shit as my own little privilege.
I have a question, though. Is that not one of the definitions of privilege in that
you don't have people, to do it.
You don't have to deal with that. That whole psychology is not even present.
But we don't have that. That's why you got to use what you got. What's left on the board.
Use trickery. You got to stop. Stop privilege. It's trickery. It's the burden of being black. It's like, I got to get over. I got to get out this situation. I have to use my wit to out fucking think.
You use their aggression and their privilege. Right. you know what I'm saying, against them in a certain situation. It don't work every time, and sometimes they're going to piss you off, and they're going to have you in a position where you can't, you ain't got no more tricks, and you're just going to be mad, and you're going to do, you know what I'm saying? But when you can, you get it off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like being broke, and you live in a black neighborhood, and you poor, and then the motherfuckers coming to collect the bills, and you can see them from down the street because they white.
Right.
That's reverse privilege.
It's like a superpower.
You know, they coming.
Oh, shit. That's funny as shit, man. Anyway, man. Vlad, do you want to say anything else?
Yeah. No, that's it, man. I do have to jet, though.
I bet. So let the people know where you're going to be at.
I'm in Los Angeles, man. I'm out here doing some private events. I got a corporate gig next week, and I'm pretty much out here, man. Comedy Magic Club, and just playing locally until further notice.
Ah, shit. Further notice. I could dig it.
We are on notice.
All right. Muhammad, where you at? What's going on?
Man, I'm here, man. Thorough TV on the snap. You know what I'm saying? Next week, we are shooting some interesting shit for the Oscars. Not the actual show, but the Oscars Foundation, like the shit that go into their historical records and shit. So we shooting a lot of directors and shit all next week. So that's going to be cool.
That's dope.
Shit, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, then you know, I'm winding down to my birthday.
Oh, shit.
It's a celebration.
There you go. That's what's up. Well, shit. What you doing for? Oh, well, we'll talk about that when we get to that.
And then we get to that week.
All right. What's going on with you, bro? I'm going to be at the, there's a show called the Dead Darling Show tonight. I'll tweet about it because I don't have all the information handy. But I'll also be at Cobb's in San Francisco from September 28th to October 1st. So I'll put that up. I'm about to drop the information on that now. But if you go to CobbsComedyClub.com, you can get your tickets. San Francisco, I'll be there September 28th to October 1st. And then until then, I'll be back here. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.